This is Bella DeSoto, Pro Tem Chair of the KPFK Finance Committee. Today is Wednesday, February the 10th, 2021, and we're started at 5:30. The time right now is 5:41. I am going to take a roll call. Michael Novick?
Present.
Alan Beek?
Here. Alan Beek here.
Janine Ron?
I'm here. Thank you.
Grace Aaron?
Here.
Dave Johnson?
I am here. Thank you.
Steve Kaiser?
Here.
Bella DeSoto is here. Fred Blair?
Present.
Rocio Rivas?
Present.
I didn't catch that name.
Rocio,
what was that name?
Rocio, R-O-C-I-O, and Rivas, R-I-V-S and Victor A-S. And Barry Brooks?
Present.
Great. Is John Wenger with us? No. I miss someone. And Paulina's not in.
Grace? Did you call Grace?
Oh, yes. Ken is not with us. Okay. But I have DB. Who could DB be? Okay. All right. Okay, so, Dave, did you see your agenda?
No, I never received it.
Oh, boy.
It came from KPFK Outreach.
Yeah, I have nothing from KPFK Outreach.
I'll forward it.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. That's very helpful. I sent it twice. Okay. Once I sent that.
Sorry, Michael, can you just forward me to this? Is Rocio.
Oh. Oh. Good. Can somebody mute? It's a lot of noise. Okay. To mute is star six. To unmute is star six.
This is Dave.
Okay. Yes, Dave.
I received the agenda. Thank you, Michael. Just now.
Oh, fantastic.
Can somebody mute? A lot of noise. Okay. Mute is.
That's a recording thing now.
Okay. So we are going to approve, I'm just going to give people a moment, any additions to the agenda, and then we go into approving the minutes, the recap that I sent out as well. And I also sent it out the same day of our last meeting on January 13th. Rocio, I will have to send this to you separately, but I cannot at this very moment. But you do have the agenda. Did you get it?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Michael.
Good. Give a look, see if you have any additions, comments. Also, Janine Ron and Alan Beek have made great contributions to the meeting today. They both labored over creating a cash flow that is work in progress. I sent out the link as well, and she did as well. And it should be populated. It's already being populated, almost done, so that we can come up with a comprehensive cash flow. She has been very busy. I had a number of challenges myself and my email browser down. So today what we really need to go over is Barry's report, questions and other reports that we have not been getting, like a balance sheet. And I thank you, Barry, for the accounts payable aging report, which I printed. It's very helpful, but then I have a number of questions. But let's approve the agenda if we're ready.
So moved.
Okay, so approved. No objections.
Hold on. Could we add a item to the agenda on the meeting on Sunday, the special LSB meeting on the
Is this Fred?
Yeah.
Oh yes, Fred. Good point. It was going to be brought up, and I'm glad you brought it up now. I think we should put this under old business.
It's not going to be old on Sunday. Sunday is only 4 days away. Why don't we put it after the business manager report?
That sounds good. But that's going to take quite a while. It would be best if we can handle dispense of that earlier. What do people feel? After approval of the minutes.
As far as I'm concerned, the Sunday meeting is gone, canceled, all taken care of.
No, Alan. Alan, you were emailing Ali Lexa, and he has nothing to do with that. It has not been pulled yet. We need to discuss this right now. There are a number of issues here. So do I get an agreement, no objection to dispense of this right after the minutes approval?
Michael, do the sec?
Yes, Michael.
Although that meeting was set up on a motion from the Finance Committee, it's no longer up to the Finance Committee. It has to be the body that changes it, the LSB itself.
I cannot hear you well, Michael.
Although that meeting was set up by a motion from the Finance Committee, the meeting was approved by the LSB. It's not up to the Finance Committee whether or not it happens. The LSB has to make the determination. We're having an email vote about that, which will be up to the majority of the LSB to determine.
Can I respond?
So whether it happens or not is up to the LSB as a whole. I'm not sure what else there is to discuss about it.
Well, the
idea was that this meeting would prepare an evaluation of the quarterly finances to send along to the LSB for its purposes.
Michael, I just wanted to discuss the purpose of the meeting, not the where it takes place or not.
Okay.
If you thank you, Michael. Thank you, Fred. And if you all have your minutes, then you will understand the language of that motion.
Okay. I also have a point of order, Chair.
Yes, Michael.
I think you should read the proposed agenda to the stream because
yes.
People might be listening who don't have the ability to look at what you sent around.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. I will do that. So,
point of order.
Agenda. Fred?
Point of order, Chair.
Dave?
Yes, also on the agenda, there's not an item for setting a date for the next meeting. Needs to be added.
Oh yes. Done. as you all know, we meet on the second Wednesday of the month, so that would place us on the 10th of March. Any objections? And it's already posted continual at kpftx.org for the
point
rest
of
the week. Is that Dave?
Yes,
Dave.
So what time? Because
yeah.
We had a
yes.
Change here.
Yes. Yes. We used to have our meetings at around 4 o'clock. religiously. I'm not religious. But somehow, and then we also held it at 5 and sometimes at 7 o'clock. But it used to be at 4. And then we changed it to help Paulina attend because she was having a conflict there. But 3 o'clock is really very uncomfortable for most people. How do people feel about 5:30? I think it's a perfect time for us to meet to keep that time.
Michael, does it back?
Michael.
I think 5:30 is problematic in months when the governance committee also meets on the same day.
Alan Beek to the stack.
Okay, Michael. Alan?
I don't hear Michael, so I'll speak.
Alan?
It's very convenient to have the finance meeting and the governance meeting on the same evening, so they come one night after the other. I think that would be the appropriate time to have the finance meeting, and then we get it just in time for the local station board meeting. It's convenient all around, and
yes,
it leaves the most time for Barry to get into any reports he's going to get to us.
Okay. Interesting. I was lobbying
Could,
for that for a
Fred
very long
respond?
Time. Fred.
The reason that the Finance Committee meetings were put at 4 o'clock was basically to make it accessible for the businessman, more easily accessible for the business manager. We used to, 2 years ago, we used to have the meetings at 7 o'clock in the evening on Wednesdays, and we moved it to the daytime hours so that to allow the business manager to attend during working hours. That's still the primary purpose of setting the time. So we should ask Barry when, if he can make it at 4 or 5:30.
Barry, that's a good point.
Yeah,
Barry?
4 or 5:30 is fine with me. That's fine.
It works either way.
Works either way. Uh-huh.
Okay, that's good because you work a lot from home also. Any other positions on this? Okay, if I may, I agree with you, Alan, that we should have both the meetings on the same day. So as a compromise, we can drop to 4:30 for the Finance Committee, and and the Governance Committee can be at 7:30.
Good.
Michael, do the stack.
Michael.
So what I had said, and I guess Alan didn't hear it, is that this month and again next month, because of how the Sundays fall, the Governance Committee is not meeting on the same day.
Right.
The Governance Committee is meeting next Wednesday this month of February, and since March has the same calendar except that it's longer, it would also be in the third Wednesday in March. So unless people want to change it to the March meeting, it won't be the same day as governance.
Okay. Thank you, Michael, for that clarity. Yes, I remember that the governance was scaled out for the next 2 months. So is it possible? How do people feel about this? We meet at 5:30 since it works for Barry for the following 2 months through March. And then in April, we revisit this and we pare it down to also allow the time for the governance committee moving forward. But that gives us a little time, and that's good for us. How do people feel about that? Keep it at 5:30 or you set March through April, Michael, or just March?
No, it's just March because we have the calendar close.
Yeah.
But I would prefer the earlier hour because it conflicts with meditation and dinner for me when we meet this late.
Okay. Michael, what is a good time for you then?
4:30 would be better, what you said.
Okay. Okay, that's not so bad. So an hour earlier.
Why don't you, Fred, can Fred be recognized?
Yes, Fred.
Why don't you just have the membership of the committee vote right now for everybody, go through everybody and ask them what would be most convenient for each of them.
Right. Today, I do not have the roster with me as I normally do, sadly. So I am going to go by the names as I put them here. Michael Novick.
4:30.
Janine?
Madam Chair,
yes.
Can I suggest something where I create a an email? There's a polling app that I can send out to everyone, and they can answer it in their email and give times that they would like on Wednesdays to have the meeting.
Oh,
and so we don't have to spend time doing it, and we can just read it at the end of our meeting.
That sounds great. That's a doodle. The doodle one?
Right, correct.
Okay, perfect. Can you do that quickly or?
Yes, I can send it and we can proceed with the meeting. And then
good.
At the end of the meeting we'll have the results, I would hope.
Sounds good. Don't forget, send it to the KPFK for me address.
No problem.
Yeah, sounds good. Is that okay with everybody? So we can go on our agenda. We have a lot to cover. Okay, one moment, please. One moment, please. I need to, hello? Can everybody hear me? Hello?
Yes, we hear you. Now I don't hear you, but before I did. Did we lose Bella?
No, she's present.
Maybe she muted herself.
It looks like she's muted herself, yes.
I am not hearing Bella at the time.
Hold on, I'll unmute her. Bella?
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Now I hear you.
Good, finally. I'm so sorry about that, but my mother came into my bedroom and some things happened. Okay, so we are going to be taking that vote later. Let's go through the approval of the agenda after adding Fred wants to just discuss the language. Michael asked that I read. I was about to read the agenda for the stream. Agenda approval. Set date for next meeting. Minutes from the January 13, 2021 Finance Committee meeting. Set date for our next meeting, which will be February March the 10th. And we will be debating, making a decision whether 4:30 or a little later or a little earlier through a survey at the end of the meeting. The business manager will be discussing his report and giving us a number of updates on the items that we do not have, which we continue asking for. Review and discussion of financial documents review from Barry Brooks, our business manager, NITA, which is the external accounting firm that handles our P&Ls, And they have sent us a dashboard narrative on the status of the foundation per unit. And the general manager also, Anil Zufiel, sent us a fund drive report link for different dates, but there were problems with those dates. And unfortunately, not everybody can access them unless you have a Microsoft account. Alan Beek worked hard on a proposed budget for 2022 with some adjustments from me for 2021. Hopefully we can get into that. The nitty-gritty of that also, there was a link sent from Janine Ron on a spreadsheet cash flow template that she created. Work in progress is in Google Docs. I brought it over to Google Sheets. I'm working on that as well. And please, I sent out a number of documents attached earlier. And finally, consideration of any motions for LSB, our next LSB meeting, such as special budget meetings, et cetera, and adjournments. And that is the kind of the down the lineup. Did I miss anything? No. Any additions to the agenda before we approve it? It was moved to be approved earlier. Okay.
Alan Beek to the stack.
Yes, Alan.
Can we discuss the question of trying to establish method by which the agenda, the budget is respected and people are prevented from spending beyond the budget?
Okay. You want to make that as a motion, Alan?
No, I just want it to be a topic we discuss to see if we can figure out such a thing.
Okay. Because in the bylaws is very clearly a centerpiece.
I sure can't find it in the bylaws. Can you tell me where it is?
At this very moment, no. But it's also very important in the general manager's contract that he is also responsible for providing a sound budget to the Finance Committee and to the LSB.
It's not a question of devising a sound budget. It's a question of sticking to the budget you have devised.
Yes. Okay. I think that we should put that on the agenda, Alan.
Thank you.
Should we put this as new business after, we have consideration for any motions? Let's put it in there.
Anything you do with it, just so it comes along eventually.
Go ahead, please, Alan. Give me some of that language so I can put it here quickly. Alan, just say
yes.
Again language.
Some
Alan.
Mechanism for requiring that the budget be respected so that people are prevented from spending in excess of what the budget allows.
Okay. This is what I drafted, that some mechanism be put into place to demand that the station does not exceed its spending capacity within the boundary of the annual budget.
Sounds good enough.
Okay. People can add to it or subtract, whatever, but I think that's basic. Okay, let me save that. Thank you, Alan, for that. So now we got that into the stream as well. Can we approve the agenda, please? Okay, hearing none, no argument. So, and the minutes. Can we approve the recap minutes from January 13th that everybody should have? Hearing none, approved. Okay. Fred, you wanted to go over the language of that motion that began here at the Finance Committee for to join a meeting with the LSB on the 14th of February, Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which is now in question. Let me read
Bella,
the language.
Bella, I thought that was after the business manager's report. I didn't.
Well,
are we on that point? Are we on the agenda point now?
Yes, I thought we agreed that it would take too long after Barry begins with his review. Can we dispense of that real quickly, please? Here is the language. The KPFK Finance Committee moves that the LSB schedule a special closed session meeting on Sunday, 2/14/21 at 10:30 a.m. That was changed by the LSB, 10:30 a.m., to discuss current pertinent KPFK financial matters, including personnel, payroll, and evaluate the first quarter of the fiscal year. Moved also that the LSB request attendance and participation by the KPFK general manager, business manager, BNB Finance Committee Chair, ICFO, and Lydia Barson, IED, Pacifica Foundation. Okay. Fred.
First of all, it's not an executive session, as far as I know, what the LSB passed. So it's not a closed meeting.
Right, special. It's a special.
What I want to know about that meeting is what was the purpose of that meeting? I don't remember an extended discussion of this at the January meeting. The Pacifica bylaws have. Can I please speak?
Yeah, I'm just asking to be on the staff.
Okay. The Pacifica bylaws do say something about a quarterly report from the LSB on station finances, but that's pretty general and non-specific. We agreed to have this meeting after the first quarter P&L financials was released by NEDA. I sent that out last week, I believe. But I'm still not really clear what the purpose of this special LSB meeting is. So I'll pass this on to Michael Novick, which I think Michael proposed this meeting at the January finance meeting.
Thank you, Fred. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, the LSB is supposed to produce a quarterly evaluation of the budget in relation to the actuals and to the finances. So we don't really have a budget yet, I don't think, that ever got approved. I could be wrong. You're on the National Finance Committee. Did the NFC actually adopt a budget for the station? But whether or not there is a budget, we do have the actuals for that first quarter, and we're mandated to analyze it and send any recommendations to the PNB on a quarterly basis. So I propose that we have, that this Finance Committee meeting by that time would have a chance to look at the financials and advise the LSB as a whole, and the LSB I would have a chance to look at them and send something along to the PNB. So I know that Barry sent out the P&L that is essentially the tab from the financials, right? Is that right? It's the same information that was in the financials from Nita for the KPFK tab for the first quarter of the current fiscal year.
There are differences.
And the figures to me are pretty grim. So I think it's worth discussing and sending along our analysis to the PNB.
Okay, it seems to me, thank you, Michael. Fred, is that was that clear for you?
Can I respond?
Any other comments?
Can I respond?
Yes, please.
Yes, the quarterly report is in the bylaws. And as far as I know, for the last 20 years, none of the stations, our station treasurers, have actually sent formal reports on the quarterly financials. That's my understanding. I've been around long enough. I've forgotten what I was going to say. Normally the financials are discussed here at the local finance committee, not at the LSB. If LSB members were interested in the financials, they should be attending this meeting, which very, very few of the LSB members actually do. We can make some kind of a financial report for the LSB. I have questions of whether we can actually get quorum of the LSB this Sunday, since people don't seem to be really very much interested in the financials.
Okay.
Fred, I'm repeating myself, so I'm going to stop.
Okay. If I may respond now to both, it is essential. Regardless of whether anyone at the LSB is interested, it has been the exercise in the past by a number of general managers where they actually give a financial report. And by that I mean submitting documentation and discussion. And whenever there has been a budget that needs to be approved or disproved, those numbers, those financial documents have been also submitted to the LSB. Even for those that do not understand financial matter, and that is only a courtesy and essentially essential procedure. So to say that this has never been practiced, of course it has happened. It has to happen. And this meeting, and there was another effort, a motion that Director Lawrence Reyes put forth 3 months ago, and it was not voted in. So at the LSB, and I understand why politically, but it is incomprehensible in the real world given our financial struggles. So I don't know. I don't want to be a dictator here. Janine suggested earlier that before we go ahead and even consider canceling that meeting, which I think is very logical, that we hear from the general manager as to a suitable date for him, because everything seems to rotate around him. So,
Alan Beek to this back.
Alan.
Yes, there are three topics that I have requested that we discuss at this meeting. One of them is refining the actual budget that we are contemplating, and I have submitted a proposal. That proposal needs to be refined. It is not exact. It is not in some places reasonable, and the people who understand the functioning of the station should work on it and make it reasonable, keeping the right totals but assigning it to the different line items in a sensible manner.
Right.
I would like to see that done, and I think that might actually all be accomplished in one meeting or two.
Okay.
Secondly, I think there is a very important thing. We're constantly referring to how our bookkeeping is messed up and we don't know what we're getting and don't get it at the right time and so on. And I think we should undertake a major effort to establish a flowchart or a procedure by which we are handling our finances so we do know what is going on and can trace things back and see what happened when and why and what right. documentation there is. That's a major effort that I think we all need to work on. And as a start on that, I have proposed a list of the things we would expect to see every month from our business manager. And if we know what we're going to expect and know the date we're going to expect it and know what they all are and he sends them to us, we'll know then if something is missing. It'll be obvious that it's missing. And we can raise hell about it. And I think that it's necessary to have an expectation of what we're going to do it regularly. And that was another item I wanted to put up on the agenda and discuss.
Okay. If I may, Alan, that motion was passed last year, if you recall. That motion that you proposed, and I have proposed that as well, a flow chart of the documentations that in the real world, you know, people get on a monthly basis and a timely basis to give the finance committee the sufficient time to revise, to go over the numbers, whether or not something is missing, but you can find if things are out of place, whatever, questions, you know, and so we can be on top of what's going on. But we have not received any of those documents in time. In fact, today we received a barrage of documents, and we are human. You know, we are not machines. I know I'm not. I'd like to be, but I'm not. And so this is a very difficult situation. Michael.
Yes. I'd like to call for the orders of the day, which is the next item on the agenda, which I believe is the business manager's report.
Yes, let's move on. Thank you, Michael. No objections? Okay. Barry, you have the floor.
Point of information.
Dave?
Was the business manager's report available in writing? Did it get emailed out to us? Question.
No, he did not give the physical report in writing this month.
Yes, I did. I sent it to Fred and you.
There is a report. I'll forward it. Hang on a second. All right, let me go back to my email. I've been in other programs, but I will forward it.
To the list. Including Rocio.
Barry, did you send out a narrative description today? Because I don't remember.
Yes, I did.
In the two emails with attachments, I don't remember seeing it. Fred, this is Fred speaking.
Yes, there is a narrative.
I sent it to Bella and you.
I saw.
Can you give us a time?
Can I respond?
Yeah, you forwarded the narrative. I'm forwarding it to Bella. Bella's email is down. I'm sending it to the other account that she's using, and I'm sending it to Rocio and Dave.
I don't believe I have it either, Michael. What do you mean?
Okay, look for something from Fred Blair at 336. Or... There were two emails from Fred at 336.
Thank you.
I see two attachments at 336, and those two attachments were...
There's a second email immediately after that with two more attachments, I think, sir.
No, I already printed this.
There's the KPFK Financial Summary 2020 DocX file. That's the narrative.
This is what happens when everything gets truncated. When things get so truncated, it is just madness. all the time wasted. We have to do this every meeting.
Let's let Barry give his report. There were two emails from Fred. One was the forwarded from Barry. One was the winter fund.
Okay, now I see it.
And one
I
was
see
the
it
profit
now.
Last
I see it now. It did not come from Barry. It came from Fred. Okay.
I said from Fred. Fred forwarded it from Barry, although what he forwarded was sent to you as well at your regular email address, but you probably didn't get it.
No. I am opening Barry's report now, and there was a spreadsheet. Okay. I have it open. Administration and Finance Department, okay. Barry, is just a huge document, one page mostly, and you do not separate it. Everything is lumped together. This makes it very difficult.
Well, let me read it to you.
Yes, I'm trying to separate it so that each line can make sense to me.
Okay. I'm not hearing anybody. Are they all muted?
Okay. We're on. No. Go ahead, Barry. I just did it. I just separated everything.
Okay. So KPFK's current bank balance at the bank on February the 9th was $81,021.
Hold on. There's a lot of noise. Go ahead, Barry.
Okay. On February the 9th, I paid down the Pacifica Foundation affiliate that we owe, that we borrowed from them for the January 31st payroll for $14,740. We also paid down the health benefit expense, and that was $26,000.
Barry, can you please start from the top? Can you follow
okay,
your report?
Okay. There's a caveat to the report, because today we got word that we are going to receive a $7,000 grant from the Tide Foundation, and I guess that will be wired to us in the next 7 days. Okay.
What is that, a grant?
Yeah, from the Tide Foundation.
Okay, can you please send us information on that separately?
Okay.
Since it's not included in here.
In addition to the deposit, We expect a deposit of $23,500 on the 23rd of this month from the December 2020 and the February 21 fund drive residuals and online donations. The total amount raised for the holiday December 2020 fund drive to date was $346,429. The goal was $350,000. The average daily amount collected was $11,175. The total amount of pledges was 3,152 units. The average pledge amount was $109.91. That was for the holiday drive. The fulfillment rate was 82.4%, and sustainers was 22,582, of which 92 pledges were committed. The total amount raised for the 2021 winter fund drive to date on February the 9th was $112,371 with 823 pledges and $9,161 in sustainers, of which 44 pledges were made for the sustainers. Our goal for this month's fund drive is $650,000. The average collection as of February 9th is $12,347. And the fulfillment rate is 81.4%. KPFK's outstanding accounts payable as of February 10th is $51,675. KPFK is in arrears paying its central services for 2020, as you know, of $294,000.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that amount? Can you repeat that amount again?
$294,632.
$632, okay. That's the total payable due?
For essential services, which amounts about eight months.
Yes. 8 months, okay.
Okay. KPFK continues to struggle in its quest to raise funds during the world pandemic for coronavirus and COVID-19. KPFK's office has been regulated to support staff and volunteers on a part-time basis. KPFK, in order to meet some of their operational costs, has borrowed from the Pacifica Foundation affiliate the amount of $17,000. And what I mentioned again of the $14,740 that was paid down, and then we also owe KPFA $25,000, which we have not paid down yet. Let me see.
I'm sorry, Barry. When was that $14,000 payment made to the affiliate?
That was paid on Monday. Oh, actually, wait a minute. Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yesterday. Yeah. We paid the health benefit costs for the employees, and then we also paid down the $14,000 to the affiliate. Okay, KPFK's February 21 employee health benefit has decreased by $5,000 from the previous month, January. From the October 2020 fund drive, KPFK raised funds for the victims affected in the Armenia Fund Partnership, Uganda Villagers Assistance, and the Agri Workers Wildlife Relief. The total amount raised was $26,743, and KPFK owes 40% back to the relief agencies of approximately $10,697. Due to the world pandemic, KPFK's cash flow problems, four employees have been laid off to meet the staff reductions mandated by the PMDB effective October 15, 2020. And then on February 9th, the 21, Pacifica Foundation received its second CARES Act, the PPP2 loan of $1.2 million to cover payroll expense and health benefits for 3 months. On February 1st, KPFK laid off two additional employees from the programming department and reduced the hours of the business manager to 50% along with reduced health benefits. KPFK has now signed a one-year contract, which you know, I mentioned that before, of the IPF Corporation for the earthquake insurance. The monthly premium is $587. KPFK's payables and premiums are being paid in a manner that matches what cash flow is available in the particular month. The winter and spring fundraising of this year and the fund drives associated with medium to large donations should prove to be good months. For listener support revenue, podcast programs, cell phone donations, and website online support revenue. We have streamlined some of our vendor lists to go with vendors that provide services at a reduced rate. Telepacific Communication has adjusted our billing rate to be in line with the nonprofit rates and the elimination of overlap phone lines. In the 2021 budget that I presented to you, the KPFK has allocated $42,000 in interest payments for the repayment of the FJC loan. The central services expense was reduced by 30%. The LogMeIn software system creates a number of protected layers that improves our servers against cyber attacks and allows for a monitoring system. As of this date, KPFK is in dire straits and needs capital infusion immediately. The winter February 21 fund drive and the funding of the second stimulus funding of $1.2 million to the Pacifica Foundation is crucial in buying some time for KPFK to catch up with vendor expenses and providing payroll funding for its employees for 3 months. This includes its health benefits, license renewal, insurance premiums, fund drive premiums, property tax, national office central services, and other accounts payable obligations. All hands are on deck needed to turn around this dismal financial performance. And let's see, anything else I need to add to that? That's it. That's my business report.
I would like to put myself on the stack. I'm taking stack of people.
One more thing I'd like to add. I sent a document from the Allegiance fundraising that characterizes the mail in, the direct mail campaign that we have. I don't know if that's in front of you guys or if that's readily available, but it's on there. And we raised a total of $8,615. That direct mail campaign was during the month of December, and we raised a total of $8,615 from that particular fundraising project. So I just wanted to give you that.
And the goal was $700,000.
No. We raised $8,615.
Got it.
That's what we raised from the direct mail campaign.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't see the goal on that last page for the December 20 Cumble mailing. I see the total raised, $86.15. What was the? I don't see the, and I don't see a fulfillment rate, and I don't see the goal amount. What was the goal amount?
We had a goal of approximately $15,000, but we fell short of that.
Got it. And then what was the fulfillment? Oh, well, the difference of the two. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, that's quite low. And that was a low expectation to begin with. Imagine. Okay. Okay. I would like to put myself on the stack, and I'm taking names for stack.
This is Dave.
Okay, Dave. Anyone else?
Fred.
Michael.
Anyone else? Okay. I would like to simply ask you. You mentioned in your report a number of open tables, which were not included in your Pacifica Foundation accounts payable management report. And again, someone just joined us. Okay. For instance, to start with, the $25,000 borrowed from KPFA, I do not see that on the report. The $3,000 lagging from the affiliates that is a pending accounts payable, that's not included in there. The Central Services, National Office Central Services, if we owe $632 for 8 months, that needed to be budgeted in there as well on a monthly basis. For most of them, would have fallen between the 361 days to 90 days and the 721 to 999 days.
Can I interject? Can I interject here?
Yes, go ahead.
We don't put intercompany payables in the Great Plains system.
Okay, I think we have gone over this so many times, and in particularly last month, when I became a pro tem chair, that there are ways of entering the information into Great Plains, and Dave explained to you as well. He helped on that.
No, because we don't write checks to our intercompany account. Money is handled through a wire. It's not handled by check. This payable
it does not matter.
Aging list,
no,
this
very,
aging list
very,
you see mm-hmm. are the ones that we write checks to.
Okay. I think you're confusing apples and pineapples. It does
not matter.
I'm not
confusing anything. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
This
agent report that I sent you is that we are writing checks to these vendors. The people that we write in intercompany is wires. It's not checks.
The concept, the accounting concept of an accounts payable aging report is to document everything that the organization is responsible at the end of the month or the beginning of the following month to pay on a monthly basis. regardless whether you sent them, whether you send your grandmother with a little bit of
that
cash.
That has never been done in the history of KPFK. In the history of KPFK, we have never done an aging on central services through the Great Plains system. Never has been done.
Let's put central services on the side for a moment, and let's look at accounts payable. What does it mean? It means everything that the station has to pay out. Everything.
I know what accounts payable are. I know exactly what accounts payable is. Like I explained to you before, the intercompany that we owe to, like, the Pacifica affiliate, in which we borrowed money for just a short-term basis, like 2 weeks, does not get put in there because we're going to pay it down within 2 to 3 weeks. $25,000 owed to KPFA is going to be paid down this month.
It does not matter, because when you look at that accounts payable, it shows you how you need to do your cash flow for that month. If you have pending $100,000 of payables and you're only documenting a quarter of that or two-thirds of that, that is improper accounting, regardless how you pay it. Whether you transfer, you do electronic.
Please don't shout.
It does not matter, Barry. It's irrelevant.
This is an old argument, not worth the time and energy. Can we move on to
But that is the reason why we are not getting the adequate information
I'm giving you the information in a narrative of the report. I told you how much is owed to KPFA. I mentioned to you how much is owed to the affiliate. And I also mentioned to you how much is owed in central services. It's mentioned to you right there in the report. It tells you how much we owe.
Let me move on, Barry. How much of the $1.2 million PPP funding has KPFK been allocated?
Alan Beek to the stack.
KPFK is projected to receive $350,000 of that amount of money. Now, that money is supposed to be divided amongst the five stations.
No, I ask you for KPFK. What is the allocation?
I just told you what the amount was.
$350,000.
Approximately
for KPFK.
Correct.
For KPFK. Okay. Can you explain to me why we are paying this huge amount of money to Phillips, Fisher Phillips LLP, over $40,000? Of course, they're legal. One of the largest legal outfits in the United States. What are these pending bills from 2020 and now in January? What are these legal fees for? And I know that KPFA also contracts them.
Right. Those are the negotiations between the union and management at KPFK. They've been going back and forth since October to try to hammer out a contract for the employees of KPFK, and that's what they're charging us right there. It's about five invoices for the legal fees.
Total of $40,300. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yep.
There goes our severance payment. There goes the severance payment. Okay, I'll come back. I added you, Alan, to the stack. So Dave is next.
Bella, can you add me as well, Polina?
Oh, hi, Polina. Okay, Polina after Alan. Go ahead,
yes,
Dave.
Yes, this is Dave. Okay, thank you. Barry,
yes, I have you on the stack, Michael.
Okay, after
thank
Fred.
You. Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Go
Barry,
ahead,
on the direct mail campaign that was done in December, you mentioned an $8,000 figure that was received. Is that a net figure after expenses?
No. The amount of expense that was allocated for that particular direct mail campaign through Allegiant, we had to pay $7,981 in labor costs.
Okay, so just so I can be clear on that, so it cost us $7,900 and something in making this mailing that received a little over $8,000. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I hope we don't do this too much, too often. Thank you very much, Barry.
Alan Beek.
Yes, Alan, you're on the stack, but next is Fred. Thank you, Dave. That was an important question. It's amazing how much money we spend. Fred?
Absolutely.
Billa, could you stop the commentary? So Barry, on that combo mailing, we made something on the order of $1,000 net.
Right, that's correct. If you take into account our expense versus what we raised,
I'm looking at the page right now that you sent out today, and it doesn't show the expenses. It just shows the income totals.
Right. The Allegiance is not going to show you the expense on there. We don't have that reporting capability yet, but hopefully that will come around. But I remember what I paid Allegiance for that direct mail campaign.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you done, Fred?
I'd like to come back later. I had some questions. I've forgotten what the questions were, but I had some questions I wanted to ask Barry. Okay.
Okay. I'll put you back on the chat.
Thank you. Bye.
Michael?
Yeah, I had a few different questions. Some were about the agent. Some were about the P&L or the KPFK tab on the financials from Nita. On the aging, some of these go back 6 years, 4 to 6 years, and in some cases they're marked default. So I was wondering if you could explain a little bit more about that.
I'm in the process of coordinating with NEDA to write off some of these old accounts payable, but I need to coordinate that with them because they're in the process of doing the audit for 2019, so I don't want to make sure that I don't want to, you know, mess up the numbers or anything like that. So that's why I have not done anything as far as written off yet.
Okay, so, but I'm wondering about some that are marked default. For example, in the second sheet, you have the PRA, Pacific Radio Archives, and it's got a due date of January 21st, 2021 for $700, and it's also ID'd as default. So I'm wondering if that was a typo or...
That's a typo. Huh? That's the typo.
Okay. All right, so appreciate that. I do think that somewhere there has to be a representation of the internal financial obligations that we have to the rest of the foundation. If it's not on the aging, it's got to be somewhere else in the same format.
Yeah, what I could do is just give you a sheet to show what is owed in the intercompany payables.
Yeah.
That's what I think I would do for that for the next time.
I do have some comments about the first quarter of the current fiscal year.
Okay.
If it's appropriate, I'd want to refer to that. Basically, you sent us as the P&L, essentially the KPFK tab. Is that right from the needed document? There's no difference that I could see between them.
Right. The listener support revenue is 31% off from last year's for the first quarter of 21.
Right. That's why I want to talk about that and my concerns about that. Year-to-date actual for the first 3 months of this fiscal year, listener support is $536,000 and something. Compared to last year, which was already down with 774, as you point out, it's a variance of almost $240,000, 31%. Even considering some of the others are a little better, but overall for the quarter, the year-to-date actual is $818,000 compared to $990,000 last year, and it's down 17%. Per month, it's a difference of close to $60,000 less per month. And last year, as you remember, we were already requiring, both the last 2 years, we basically were bailed out by extraordinary income that was not coming from our listeners. It was either the bequests or the PPP money. And in your narrative, let me go back to that if I can. In your narrative, you say that the PPP money will allow us to maintain payroll for 3 months. I don't believe that's a proper use of the PPP money at this point. Our payroll is clearly well in excess of what we can sustain and has been. And I think that the proper use of the PPP money is to begin to pay some of the severances necessary to reduce our payroll. I think that's an unfortunate reality that is staring us in the face for well over a year, well over 2 years. And I'd like you to speak to that narrative if you really think the best use of the PPP money is to continue to pay a payroll that we can't sustain.
Well, that's what the PPP stands for, Payroll Protection Plan.
No, but the PPP money allows for substantial reduction in staff despite the receipt of the PPP money. And our staff is clearly over, there's not a restriction that says we can't use some of that PPP money to reduce some of our staff. And if it's used to maintain the current staff, then we're going to drop off a cliff as soon as it's gone, as we are now when it was used that way last time.
So how many more people are you talking about considering laying off?
I'm not privy to the payroll. I don't know how much people are making. I haven't been part of any of these discussions. I'm just saying that it's clear that the reduction.
Well, I'm sure they will be able to use some of that money toward the severance of people who get laid off. I'm sure they'll use a portion of it going forward. I don't know how much they'll do. I don't know.
Barry would not be privy to that decision, Michael. Hello?
Hello?
I'm not muted, and I'm on the stack.
Sorry, my phone turned itself off. But not exactly.
Oh, no,
I was just saying that I don't think the current payroll is sustainable, even with the previous cuts that have been made. So I think that some of that PPP money doesn't have to be used to reduce the payroll. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And I met, before your phone died, Michael, I said that Barry is not the person that would make that decision, unfortunately.
Right, I understand that. But I'm saying in his narrative, it said it was going to be used to meet him.
Well, that's what it's set up for, health benefits and payroll expenses.
This is Paulina. I have specific information.
Paulina, you have a point of information. Go ahead.
Yes, I do have a point of information. I'm looking at an email from our IED, Lydia Brazon, sent yesterday. She says, as per Tamaram, we will cover the payroll for that for 2/15, February 15th, February 28th, March 15th, and March 31st, as well as benefits for March and April. That's the plan. And also, Lydia says in this email, this means receipt of census.
Paulina?
Somebody Paulina. Got cut off in the middle.
Am
yes.
I still here?
Yes. Did go I ahead, to... Paulina. We lost you.
Okay. I mentioned that Lydia's email
yes.
announcing
yes.
the arrival of the money
yes.
also quotes Tamara Swiderski saying that this money is supposed to cover the next four payroll periods, plus it is expected that this money should, that given that this money will be disbursed, that we are expecting that central services payments be made, especially, says Lydia in that email, from stations that have fallen behind. Barry, so is that the case? Is the disbursement to KPFK going to cover 4 payroll periods at least 1 central services payment?
I believe so, yes. Mm-hmm. That's how I understand it.
Could you forward that email? I've never seen it.
I have never seen it.
Okay, it wasn't marked confidential, so I believe I can do so. Give me a second.
Oh.
It was not marked confidential, no. So I believe that's why I was mentioning it here on the stream. Let me check one second.
We really need to see that, because then that answers a number of questions, especially if the March payroll will be covered. That will give us some breathing room, but still. Paulina, do you have anything else more to add?
No, that's all I wanted to bring up. And I was hoping that you had seen that email. How about this? I'll forward it to the chair of this committee, which is you, Bella, and then you can forward it to the members. Give me one second.
Okay.
I'm doing that right
Thank
now.
You.
Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Are you aware that Bella's regular email is not working? You have to use the KPS.
Yes, server. Let me handle that. So my server has been down several days.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please send it to KPFK 907 Outreach?
How about this? I'm going to send it to Michael, and Michael can forward it to everybody else, and you included.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Alan, you are next.
Thanks.
Thank you, Paulina. Alan?
Yes. Well, this conversation has, I think, been quite stressful and not very enjoyable and hasn't cleared up an awful lot. It sounds somewhat more like an argument than a discussion at times. And I think that what it needs is to have this complete system that I've been advocating drawn up, a kind of a handbook that tells us what we're going to do, how all the transactions will be handled, gives examples of some of the more complicated ones, and shows how they are handled. And that's something that takes a long time to develop, and I think we should organize and try to get at it and get it written so we won't have these problems anymore. Thank you.
I fully agree. Paulina, did you have some? Who was that?
It's Janine.
Hi, Janine. You want me to add you to the list?
Yes, please.
Okay. Fred, did you want to come back in? Let Janine go first. Go ahead, Janine.
Let Janine go first.
Thank you, Fred. Just two things. One is, could you repeat our balance at the moment, Barry?
Our balance after we paid down the affiliate and after we paid our health benefit, after we did that, the balance was $44,242. Prior to that, the balance was $86,021.
Okay, and did you say that you were going to generate a list of other internal payables?
The intercompany payables, I can put that together, a little short list of what we owe KPFA, what we owe. We still owe the affiliate $17,000, too, so I can put that together.
Okay, and between the two, that is everything that would be payable, right, between what we have here on our trial balance, I'm looking. Forgot what it's called. The payable. So between those two lists, we would have everything that would be part of a monthly payment, part of monthly payments for the station.
Yeah, well, the KPFA debt would probably be paid down by March 1st.
Okay, but that's not what she's saying. It's not what she's asking.
I just want to make sure.
I can list that on there if you want to see it. If you want to see it, I can put it on there.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that once you forward that list, we have all of the payments that the station, so we can back out of, you know, if we get $350, and I, that's another question, do we know when it's going to be dispersed? If our portion is $350, when would that be dispersed?
That's to cover payroll, Jane.
That's to cover payroll and health benefits.
I understand, but when would it be arriving?
Some between probably now and Monday.
Oh, okay, great.
Point of order.
Dave?
Are you going to set aside some time for public comment for any of the people that are listening on the stream? That was my question.
Yes. I asked Fred if there was anyone from the public before, because I gave the information out. Fred, how many people are under, thank you, Dave, how many people are on from the public?
There are two guests. I think one of them is Rico.
No names are necessary, but there is somebody waiting to speak.
Yeah, so let's, Fred, did you have...
Hold on, Billa. And there are five people on the, listening on the stream.
You mean five guests?
No, five people listening on the stream. They're not on the call.
Okay, who is... Oh, so they're not on the call. They're not live.
Bella, they are live and listening, but they can't talk.
Okay, so the issue, Fred, is that we have to make some time to let them speak. So we have exhausted...
Not necessarily.
Did you want to speak again? I know I have...
Have a question of substance.
Okay. Point of procedure?
Michael?
Yeah, on the LSB calls, when we take public comment, there's an announcement over the stream of the number to call to dial in and make public comment. I believe there were two guests on the call, and I think one of them wants to comment.
Yes. So let me give that information. I'm here in the middle of so many things here. Okay. So if you are waiting to call in to speak, please, you can unmute yourself, and I sent that out earlier. *6, unmute, and *6, mute. The login code is 509.
They're already logged in.
Okay. So then you can unmute yourself by pressing *6, and you may or may not want to give your name. It's not necessary. We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I have several comments. I'm just astonished. I've been listening for 7 months to this committee. I'm astonished that we are paying Allegiance, and yet they don't put in expenses. They only put in revenue. I mean, I've never heard of something like that. This is a professional company, and we're paying them. It's absurd. Then I heard the number $350,000, from the business manager, and at first he said divided amongst five stations, and then he said it was all hours, so I don't know, you know, what that is. In the past, budgets that have been announced by him at meetings have, you know, said we took in so-and-so and then neglected to say, but we had to pay out X amount for stamps and X amount for phones, et cetera. And by the time you finished, we were in the red. So, you know, I'm very sorry, but I'm not, you know, happy with just hearing about what we took in. And that includes, for the fund drive, the fact that, you know, I think, like, I looked at one thing that was sent out by Michael or whatever, and I don't know, it was something like 16,000 was taken in, but 9,000 was premiums. Well, it's hard for me to imagine 9,000 for premiums, but whatever, that means we didn't take in 16,000. We netted 7,000. So I'm kind of tired of not hearing, you know, the net and just hearing a bunch of figures. So I'm sorry, but I wanted to say that. And then I have two other quick things as far as the fund drive. Number one, today, Amy announced that, you know, people should give $25, you know, dollars to her website for her 25th anniversary. And then later in the show, she said if you did that, that it, she said something about KPFK and you'd get a link to something. So I was shocked about that. As I understand it, you know, we've given quite a lot to Amy. And the other thing is that I had already said before that Ian used to announce, you know, his own website. The third thing is, at this time, I don't think, you know, I'm very sympathetic to all the plights, many plights of Haiti. But at this point, I don't think we should be splitting any monies taken in on a fund drive with other charities. We can't afford it right now. And that, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Ruth. Okay. Do we have another person on the, waiting to speak?
Bella, I just want to say hi. I got on the call late. This is John Wenger.
Hey, John Wenger. Great to have you.
Yeah. I noticed that I got a bunch of emails starting about a little after 3:30 when I was sort of what the thing was. And I saw and then I got distracted by the impeachment and everything. So it would be helpful to get these reminders out the day before, a little earlier, that's all. So I'm glad you guys are carrying on. I agree with most of Ruth's comments, too.
All right. Thank you, John.
Michael, can we back on the same point of procedure?
Michael.
I do think we should announce the call-in number and the code for people who are listening on the stream who might want to make a public comment who have not been
on our call. Let me do that. Yes, I was stopped early by Fred. The numbers to call are 323-393-4046 or 310-409-2027, and your code would be 509-912-pound. 509-912-pound. Hopefully you can join us.
Then a point of personal privilege. Yeah, if I were a listener, I wouldn't have had time to grab a pen and paper to actually write that down, be that necessary. So maybe you can repeat it, or else, is this information published on our website
yeah.
where people are listening on the stream? Is that published? Okay, so then, yeah, maybe we want to direct our listeners to where they're actually streaming us, right, where they're listening to us. That's where you can find those numbers that Bella just mentioned. Maybe you don't need to mention them again, not to waste time. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, Paulina. And I also sent the information twice today to certain people that expressed interest. One of them was Ruth. So, yes, the number again is, and you can go to kpftx.org. Unfortunately, that was posted late today. As soon as I saw it, I sent it out via email. The numbers are 323-393-4046 or 310-409-2027. And the code is 509-912-POUND. 509-912-POUND. Thank you.
Janine to the stack again.
Janine.
I'm looking for a document that shows our new application for payroll personnel costs. Is that something somewhere in what we received today, or is that has that come in recently?
No, that is never submitted to us. That is always omitted. That is the largest chunk of funding that does not go into any accounts payable aging. In other words, it's not even going to the narrative.
I'm asking because it would have changed. Unfortunately had to make the cuts, not us, but the cuts had to be made and for a purpose. And now I'm looking to try to find out what it currently is now after the cut. Is there a projection of our monthly payroll now?
Barry, can you address that?
Yes. After the cuts on February the 1st, the payroll now is approximately $104,000 now.
Yearly?
Okay.
Is that 104 bi-monthly or every payroll?
That's monthly.
So the payroll is 52,000 each payroll?
Well, now that the cuts have been made, yeah, it's gone down to $54,000 for this February 15th payroll.
Does that include the benefits and the?
No, that does not include benefits. Nope.
Yeah. So that's not the payroll, that's just the...
The salary, net salary.
Right.
So what would... So then there's the central services are the fringes on top of that? Is that
correct.
A new amount?
No, central
that's
services...
That's separate than the payroll. Central services separate. Right
central
now, KPFK pays $36,000 for central
services.
Janine,
it's a monthly application.
Janine, central services are not payroll.
Fred, if you, one moment, please. So we are 8 months behind on central services at $294,632. So
that's
if
just
you
for
divide
fiscal
that,
year 2020. That's
right.
Just for fiscal year 2020.
Only, and that's through September 2020. That's not including January and now February.
So when I look at the financials and it says central services and it has a P&O and a PRA, is that a payment towards that outstanding 294 or are those new union obligations for
no.
The payroll?
No, national services is national office. The P&O is national office. The PRA are monthly obligations stations has to the Pacifica Radio Archive.
Oh, I understand. Okay, so then where is the fringes, the union fringes and the payroll fringes, if they are
the
not
benefits.
In the or total?
The payroll benefits. Payroll benefits? Payroll
okay.
Benefits. Yeah. That would be the 401k. That would be the pension, right? And the medical.
So those are all new amounts. Those should be all
those
new amounts.
Those amounts are separate from the net salary that Barry just mentioned. So we've got
right.
140.
What I'm getting to is that would be a new estimate. If we are now at 104, which is about a 40 or 30% reduction, then what are those new totals? If the salaries have gone down to 104.
Yeah, that is a good question. So, in other words, you want the overall reduction of all those benefits.
Yeah.
Right. And so, Barry, can you give us a roundabout number? It doesn't have to be exact, of course. Because those benefits are
very
high.
The benefit, I mentioned that in the narrative, has come down by $5,000. So when I paid the February health benefit cost, it was $5,000 less than January's cost. And of course, February is going to be even even more. So that's
so
going to
be. I saw that the health benefits had been over 30,000. So you're saying that those are now down to 25,000 a month?
Right, 25,500, right.
Okay.
But it's going to even go down more for the month of February because there were two employees that were laid off in February 1st. So that's going to even be even more reduction in health benefits.
More deduction, right. I want to let one of the public speakers ask about the $350,000 that Barry mentioned, and that's from the recent economic relief. That is our second installment from the economic relief, federal economic relief, and the allocation for KPFK is $350,000. And you're right, Ruth. I heard the same thing, that it was for all the stations, but it's only for KPFK. And based on the requirement protocol of that loan, at least 60% of that has to be allocated to payroll expenses. And that would cover, of course, benefits, salary, compensation, you know, and severance and so forth. And then after that, we can cover other stuff. Okay. So that you understand that. I agree with the comments also that Allegiance is not showing us the other side of the ledger, which is the expenses. The same thing for Barry, your December combo mailing that you sent us. It shows $8,615 as income, but we spent $7,981, right? So that doesn't mean anything. And so forth and so on. Okay.
It does mean something. It tells you how much you spent in cost versus how much you got in revenue. It does mean something. And how much you netted in the cost.
It's not showing.
And the reason, why it's not showing, because Allegiance is a new software program, and Terry Guy is still working on getting the costs associated with the revenue that we generate. So that's
okay.
Still in the making. It's still going to be coming down
okay.
the line.
I have a question for you. Do you see the reason why I keep asking for an accounts payable, a comprehensive accounts payable agent report? Now you're talking about two separate reports. I don't see how. I do not see the reason for that. Instead of having one congenial comprehensive report monthly, accounts payable agent report. The other thing is we never see a bank reconciliation, right? So you're giving us, we have $44,242 at the bank. That doesn't say anything to me because I do not see a balance sheet to confirm that number, and I do not see a bank reconciliation at the end of each month to tell me this is how much was paid out, this is how much money came in. And these are the documents that we keep asking for. Going back
okay,
to
Okay,
let
me just interject. Let me just interject
me,
here.
Barry,
reconciliation
is not
public knowledge.
Barry, can I finish? Barry, thank you. Let me finish. I'm just about finished. Going back to Alan, and I have asked for this before, a flow chart, and I also sent him recently, and I have sent you, the Great Plains chart flow, a flow chart, how things work in Great Plains. It's an image that shows you start here, you go there to get that report, then you go here, then you go there. Now, a flow chart of the reports that we need on a monthly basis, with an expectation of ample time so that we can have time to review, as we are humans, is what we need to work on. But you should not wait for 5 years to get that done. You need to provide us with a timely report that we ask for.
Alan, to the stack.
And then your job would be easier. All of us would be easier.
Okay, let me
Alan.
Just say that. The balance sheet is being provided by NEDA, not me, okay? They're in the process of putting
NEDA
together a balance
not
sheet.
Provide, NEDA does not provide a balance sheet. And I've asked them to provide a bank rec, and we do not get bank recs from them either. However, they get paid a very high penny. So, Alan?
Yes. Your agenda shows that there's going to be also a link from Janine Roan for a cash flow template. I'd like to see that cash flow template. I'd like to have her produce it, never study it.
Yes. Did you open up the link, Ellen? I sent it out and she sent it out. It's in Google Docs. I brought it over to Google Sheets because it's easier to work with at Google Sheets. But she has done a lot of work there. I sent her the chart of accounts. She was able to get the numbers, all of that. So it's work in progress.
Madam Chair.
Michael does that. Okay.
Yes.
I was just going to say I can export it and send it to the members if they can't, if they haven't gotten the link or can't find the link, I can send it after this meeting or I can try to send it now.
Good, good, excellent. Don't forget the Doodle survey for our meeting on the 10th of March.
That
Did
went
you
out.
Create that?
Yes.
I'll have to ask you to explain that to me. I don't know what it means when you say, don't forget the Google account.
No, that's something else, Alan. You got confused. I think Michael is next. Janine, did you finish?
We'll take it up later.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Michael?
Yeah, I got a question by email regarding the end-of-the-year mailing. The question was, how many pieces were sent out and what did Allegiance charge us per piece? What did that cover, given that it ate up most of the income from it?
Barry?
Barry can answer that.
I don't know what the unit cost per unit is.
Allegiance, you know how many
provided that. I know that there was 97 total pieces of units that generate that $8,615. Now, the cost per unit, I'll have to get that from Allegiance. Maybe tomorrow I can give that to you.
You're saying there were 97 replies came back?
I don't know the total amount of replies, but the amount of the 8,615 made up of 97 units.
Okay. And the 8,000 was the gross, and because of the cost of the mailing was about 7,000?
7,981.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You are correct.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you. The stats, please, whenever.
Bolina?
Thank you. This meeting, I'm sure, has been going on since 5:30, so we're running up to 2 hours. I don't want to take up much time, but I'm just still puzzled by the fact we get reports from Allegiance by you, Barry, by Aniel, and then when we're asking for specifics, you say, oh, no, sorry, we can't do that. We still don't know how to use Allegiance. Doesn't Allegiance have tech support? I, as programmer, have received several links to Allegiance where, you know, we can see stuff. I'm just curious, why is it so complicated, and why can't the finance committee have access, view-only access to it, to be able to look at the stuff? Because you just gave us, for instance, Barry, you just gave us a number, and that was about cost, right? But then earlier when asked about premium cost, you said, oh, no, we can't do, you know, Terry Guy still doesn't know how to find that in Allegiance. Come on, can somebody help him?
You'd have to talk to Terry. He's the one that's actually trying to generate the reporting as to, you know, the different categories that are being projected on the report. So,
yeah, but no, sir.
These are not projections.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Terry, these are not projections. These are not projections, Terry. These are actual.
Bella, may I finish? What I'm saying is this. The system should be perfectly capable of generating all of these numbers. It's the users who might need help from Allegiance folks as to how to use it, if that's really the problem. But also, I given that I've seen some of the Allegiance interfaces, it doesn't look that complicated. It does look very glitchy. For instance, when you when people are logging in, when Barry and Donna, whoever does that, log in, money being coming in, it comes in. They are logging it as large donations, all of it, and then later, I think they that's my impression, right? Then later they change the category, and log it correctly. So my impression is this, and I don't mean to by any means, I don't mean to speak poorly of the work, the tremendous work that's being done by our very tiny membership department. They have a lot of work to do, but it feels to me like, maybe, is it true, do you think, that the reason why we as oversight, because that's our job is oversight, are not being allowed to look at any of this is because folks are just not comfortable with us seeing the kind of mistakes that are there in terms of both the platform and the learning curve. I don't know. I would really hope that what could really save us right now is if we could just trust each other and let us be part of see what's going on, not to downgrade it, not your work, not to disparage, excuse me, your work, but rather to get the numbers that we need to see in order to understand it, and it's just seeing them. And I would also say that I would be me myself. I'll be finished in 30 seconds. Myself, as a member of the local station board, as a foundation secretary, I will commit to not assuming the bad intent, to not disparaging anybody's work, to actually elevating your work, everybody's work, every step of the way. But help us, please help us. I feel like we need to be able to see what's going on in Allegiance. Please, thank you.
Thank you, Paulina. Mary.
John to the queue in response to Paulina.
John.
Paulina, I can only guess, but I have some guesses. Part of the thing is historically, the employees have not been really receptive to volunteers getting involved and possibly decreasing their work and taking their jobs and looking at them and all the rest sort of stuff. So they've not wanted. Historically, not just the manager, but all of them don't really like to be looked at by the citizen oversight, supervision by the listeners, and we on the Finance Committee are part of that. Now, the second thing is, I used to design software systems, and in fact, we had a movement that came out, the three of us, with data processing, computer programming experience, Fred Blair, Ken Aaron, and myself, all have a bunch of experience that collectively should have been able to get to the bottom of looking at Allegiance and figuring it out. But here's what I think probably Allegiance doesn't do. Allegiance probably does not have the capacity to look at it with read-only access and not allow us to look at the salaries. And now that's a political thing. And back when I was the treasurer and a member of the LSB and that sort of stuff, I recommended, I said, look, in order for this financial committee to really work, the finance committee needs to see the salaries, and there's nothing except convention that keeps us from doing that, and perhaps the attitudes of the employees and the manager. By keeping us in the dark, we cannot perform effective supervision, and you just match your point. And so that's the issue. The employees could, if they wanted to save the station and thought that we could contribute at all, and they may not think we can do a darn thing, but I would guess that that's probably what they think of collectively. But if they wanted the help, they could let us look at it. It's nothing but LSB and PNB policy that does that, and the policy actually allows us to have a lot more viewing into the salaries than is being recognized. They seem to have forgotten that whole thing there. So that's what I think is going on. We got the expertise. We could do it, and we can keep it secret, but they don't want us to.
Thank you, John, for that historical account. That is so, so true. Right on. Barry, I need to cover three areas with you. Michael was honing in on the 2020 combo mailing area. We only received $634 after you reduce the cost. Can you tell us exactly what was involved in that mailer?
The December 2020
so many resources.
Yeah, the December 2020 mailer was a letter that was sent out to some of the members that had not been active in contributing, and they were asked to make a contribution to KPFK. That was drafted by Annyeong, the general manager. And
okay.
So that went out to about 5,000 units, I think, went out.
5,000 units?
Yes.
Okay. And that was an appeal? That was an appeal for expired
members. Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Got it. Okay. And you're absolutely sure of that, or you are assuming?
No, I'm sure of that, yeah.
Okay, very good. I'm glad to hear that.
Bella, sorry to interrupt. This is Polina.
Okay,
I had asked a question of Barry. My comment was directed to Barry, and I would like him to address it at some point. Thank you.
You were on and on and on about the fact that you want more accountability, that you cannot understand why Allegiance is not giving us what we need, that we have the expertise. Did you have a specific question?
My specific question was, Barry, did you hear a specific question in my on and on?
Yeah,
and on?
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, and I really sympathize with you because you're right. You should have a report that shows you, like, for example, premiums, how much was paid out in premiums, how much we generated in premiums, and then what was the net profit from the premiums. And so I mentioned that to Terry, and he said that he's in the process of talking to Allegiance to try to get that out. So you could see what, you know, the premiums cost, what we paid for premiums, the postage, the labor costs, and then what we generated in revenue as far as that goes, and then what the net profit is on each unit.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be in contact and talks with him just to get that out.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Polina. Thank you, Barry. By the way, Polina, that has been requested I don't know how many years. And the problem, of course, is that when we get the audit, all those fundraising expenditures are eliminated. They're not accounted for, nor is the related income. And that's another battle with the audit. Barry, I need to ask you also, on the NIDA's report, on the narrative report, which is dated 2/4/2021, the Pacifica Foundation financial narrative, under the personnel expenses for the period October through December, are $49,000 more than for fiscal year 20 now, or at $1.7 million. In other words, KPFK shows an increase of $22,000 or 4% over fiscal year 2020. But you have just told us that even two more employees were let go on February 1st. Now, how do we reconcile this discrepancy?
Okay, the reason being, Bella, is on October 15th, KPFK laid off four employees. And we had to pay out their severance packages, vacation time, and their pension, and that was an increase. So you, well, okay. You have to understand that when you when you're laying off people, you have to pay their vacation time and all their pension. You know,
you're
Laura,
right. I forgot about that severance, that looming severance. The other question finally is, did you not mention, and it was in your narrative, that we paid off around $14,000 to the affiliate? Towards their
$17,000
that we borrowed? But,
yeah, we borrowed on January 31st.
Right, so that would leave a $3,000 account payable. But you said a little while ago that it would leave the $17,000. You did pay off the you did pay off a portion of that. That only leaves $3,000.
No. You got it confused, okay?
Okay,
we borrowed
go ahead.
An addition for the affiliate. We owed $17,000. And
right.
Then on January 31st, we borrowed an additional $14,740.
Oh.
So we paid down the $14,000 yesterday, and then we still owe them $17,000.
May I ask you how much you actually paid? Because if you borrowed $17,000 first and you paid off the $14,000, isn't that the $14,000 the later borrow loan? I mean, why would you not be paying down $17,000?
Because when I spoke with the representative from the Pacific affiliate, her name is Ursula Rudenberg, she wanted, she needed the money. She had the money available to us, but she needed the money back really quickly. So she said, okay,
right,
Bear,
right.
I'll let you borrow the money, but I need the money back within like 3 weeks. And I said,
okay,
I think we can do that.
Okay. So that means that we owe them we actually borrowed $30,000. $31,000. Okay. How much has been paid back out of that $31,000?
I just told you $14,740 has been paid back.
$14,000. Okay, got it. Now I'm clear. It was not clear when you told us. Sorry. Okay, so that means that $14,000 balance needs to go on that accounts payable. And please, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Just put everything in one master accounts payable. Everything
I'm going to say this to you one more time, Bella. I don't know if you understand how Great Plains works, but you cannot put a payable in Great Plains without having to pay by check. It doesn't work that way. I can put it in there, but I have to pay the money by check. And we don't pay back intercompany borrowings through check. We wire the money out. That's the reason it's not in the AP agent account.
Okay. Did I explain to you that it needs to be done via journal entry? I have, right? And that's how you make the adjustments. And that's how you make those other entries, via journal entry. When you make the payment, that journal entry gets adjusted. Okay, so we're going to move on. Anybody else on the stack?
Paulina.
Paulina?
Yes, Barry, I'm confused about the recent exchange. Now, are you saying that Great Plains is incapable of letting you log inter company transactions when they're...
If you want to see an aging of intercompany, that means you have to pay them by check. I can't write check to the intercompany because what happens is when the money is available, I pay it through a wire. The money gets deposited to KPFA's account or to the affiliate's account.
Why does it have to be by check, Barry? Is that a glitch in the program? Is that
because
that's limitation?
That's what the agent is in Great Plains. All these vendors that you see in the agent report are being paid down by check. When we have a month.
It's so hard to believe nobody, uses checks anymore necessarily. Wire is completely acceptable. So is that a limitation of Great Plains, Barry?
No, it's not a limitation. It's just how it's structured. I mean, I can do an entry, that shows a payable to the affiliate as a short-term loan. I could do it that way, but it's not going to show up in the in the agent report.
Because it's not by check. It is by wire.
Correct. That's right. I can do an
entry
that would show that.
No,
but it's not
going to
show up in the agent report.
How do other, how do other people deal with it? I just don't understand why that's,
not
to me,
so.
It sounds like a limitation is all. Thank you. All right. I'm not going to get into the weeds. Thank you.
Yeah. The journal entry, you make the journal entry for anything else other than a check. And that gets documented. And it goes directly to the general ledger and the trial balance. He knows that.
But one of the reasons why it's done this way is because Meta usually does the entry when we pay it down. So what happens is I'll instruct Tamara Sidursky to pay down the affiliate, and she'll do the appropriate entry for it. She does the journal entry.
She does not handle our, she does not handle our Great Plains. You do. They do what they need to do on their end. You need to do what you need to do on your end.
They do entries too. They do entries for our payroll. They do entries for our health benefits. Okay?
But
they
we
do
are
that.
Talking accounts payable, Barry. Something,
okay,
there's
gonna,
a major
I'm not
block.
I'm not going to argue with you, okay? I'm not going to argue
yeah,
with
there's
you.
A major block here. Major.
Bella, may I finish?
Oh, go ahead.
Very briefly. I very much appreciated that KTFK has been paying back its debts to the affiliates in a prompt manner. That's very important. Given that the affiliates have, nobody likes somebody going into their account and taking out money and then not paying them back. So I very much appreciate that this is happening. Thank you.
Yes, we are talking about accounts payable. We're not talking about paying.
That was a side comment just for
okay.
for,
yes.
for,
and
for
I
the
agree
benefit
with
of
you.
Our listeners and for the benefit of Barry. I just wanted to make that comment. I feel that's
yes.
positive that we're paying back in a prompt manner. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Especially the affiliates. I mean, they're doing us a great favor. Anything else, Barry, that you wanted to add that was not included in your narrative?
Yeah, I wanted to say that of the first 10 days of the fund drive, we had 2 days at $19,000, which was the February the 2nd and February the 3rd. Today, we have $10,659 for the fund drive. So we have a total raise of $131,763. That's what I'm going to say.
So that's to date on the recent fund drive?
Yeah, and then also on February the 5th, we had a contribution total of $20,322.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You mentioned a grant earlier on, and I tried
right.
to note that because that was not on your narrative.
Right.
And can you let me go back to your – here we go. Okay. You said that from – $7,000 grant was to come in from the Thai Foundation. How
That's
do you
right.
spell and Thai? What is the Thai Foundation? Can you spell that?
It's T-I-D-E, the Thai Foundation.
Oh,
Tide. Yes, plural. It's plural, T-I-D-E-S.
Got it. Thank you, Michael. To arrive when, please?
Within the next 7 days.
Okay, within 7 days. And that was $7,000?
$7,000, yeah, even.
Okay, I have a question for you, and I have the same question for you at every meeting. Regarding accounts receivable, and you know what that is, of course, what is the value would you place on that area that we have not received yet that will be trickling down throughout February before the end of the month?
Okay, when you're talking about the accounts receivable,
that would be $7,000. That would be $7,000
right.
coming in. What
right.
else? You mentioned another one right before that. What was that?
I mentioned another one. I didn't mention another grant. We
yes,
have
you mentioned
what you call,
we were getting
what we're trying to do. What I'm trying to do is trying to get the estimated amount of income that KPFK generates through sponsorship income. Or
okay.
not sponsorship, I'm sorry, through sustainer.
Through what?
Sustainer income. Through sustainer income.
Right.
So that's one
and
thing we try to grab our hands around is how much sustainer income is KPFK generating per month. Right. And we're trying to get the, and we're trying to get Allegiance to give us some kind of numbers to, you know, where we can predict that, where I can actually give you a cash flow chart as to what is predicted in the next month. How much are we going to be expected to receive in the next month?
Okay,
so
but you know that
never,
yeah, but that would be excellent in another world, but this is never a predictable area. I mean, unless you have a fixed amount that is with that they agreed upon that we can deduct from their account, those are fixed. But
correct.
If you're trying to
right.
guess and use some sort of a formula, this is unpredictable.
No,
so
he's talking about the sustainers.
No, my question,
sustainers have a pledge they make.
Okay, so we are talking, I'm talking about accounts receivable. Hard numbers that we know that we get, that we can depend on, that trickle in during the month, but they're not coming in right away. For instance, we do a fundraiser, and let's say we have a goal, but we only get 70% fulfillment. Okay? What happens to that other 40%, that other 30%? That is accounts receivable. What time window would those be coming in? That is accounts receivable. Just like we want to get a hold on our accounts payable, we need to do the same for the other side of the ledger. So I'm talking accounts receivable. We know we're going to be getting $7,000, right? That's sure. That's for sure. That's predictable from Tides Foundation. What other accounts receivables do we get on a regular basis that we can say, yes, we can account with that money coming in for the month of February?
Paulina's
okay, well,
usually,
after the usually that's through sponsorship income. Before the pandemic, we would have sponsorship income that I would book revenue to where, you know, Maggie would actually correlate with different vendors and clients to generate sponsorship income. And then when she said, okay, Barry, one example was for the UCLA sponsorship income. So I would book the income to the receivable. And then once the revenue came in, then I would relieve the receivable and then the cash would come in. So that was one
instance
of booking the receivable for sponsorship income. So,
right.
Like in,
okay. So
for
we
example,
don't have
this,
we don't have events. We don't have events, right?
Correct. We don't
so
have that right
not,
now. So I don't
right.
have.
So
I don't
we are
have
not
that
talking
anymore.
About. So we are not talking about sponsorship anymore until we get to another space and time when we can resume normal activity. So what other accounts receivables do you know of that we may be getting throughout February? I'm trying to hone in on this. Are there any
okay,
other?
I don't know. I don't know any other accounts receivable that's coming in for February.
Okay.
I don't know of
okay.
any other receivable that's coming in. I know Annie's working very diligently to try to create grant income and any other, you know, trying to generate new membership for sustainers. He's trying to do that, so he's doing everything he can to try to generate income. And
okay.
I just want to add to this meeting that the elephant in the room is revenue, okay? It's not cutting back personnel costs. It's trying to increase your revenue. Once you increase your revenue, KPFK's answers will be, no, you know, they'll be answered. That's the elephant in the room is revenue. You have to generate more areas of revenue, other units of revenue.
Alan Beek to the stack.
To handle the
You have said this before a number of times, Barry, and that is very wrong. That
no,
is the wrong
not.
Formula. You do not understand
no,
the
not.
Dynamic.
Alan?
Alan?
Yes.
Paulina, I requested the stack prior to Alan.
Oh, Paulina?
Thank you. You, Barry, you were talking about sustainer revenue coming in. And I understand what you were saying. You know, this is predictable, right? Revenue is going to be coming in every month. Now, can you tell us what those numbers are so far for, you're saying that Allegiance is not letting you get those numbers. I was looking at the, at Allegiance and it was showing me, the dailies and I could see, how much was coming in sustainer revenue, and how and how much was coming in other in just one-time donations. So I don't see why we couldn't get the reports. You know, maybe you could comment on that. And then the other big question for me is, it looks to me the numbers you mentioned, $19,000on Tuesday, something like close to $20,000. It sounds like we're doing better in this fund drive than we did in the previous one. Am I correct?
That's correct. You're absolutely correct. We were really astonished, and I was very astonished that for the first 4 days, we were averaging like $18,000. So that's really good. But because of the impeachment trial, that probably affected our momentum, and because we were running the impeachment, covering the impeachment coverage, so that kind of affected us a little bit. So,
yeah, Alan Beek on the stack.
We're doing better than the December fund drive, exactly, in the first 4 days.
And sustainer-wise, how are we doing?
I don't have the numbers in front of me for the sustainers. We're trying to get that. So I don't know. I have to talk to Terry about that.
All right. Or you can talk to Allegiance, as into the get in there. Because, as I was saying, I was able to see those numbers because I fundraise for this station. I'm one of many people who fundraise for this station. And
Alan Beek on the stack.
And I'm going to see to Alan. Go ahead.
Thank you, Paulina.
My bad.
Alan, one moment. Paulina, you said that the sustainers funding is predictable. It is not predictable.
I said it was visible on Allegiance. I was able to see it as I was fundraising, helping people fundraise.
Which is why
it's weird to me that we don't have those numbers. That's all. Thank you.
Right.
Paulina isn't talking.
Coming to you, Marilyn.
So she's yielded her position to me.
Alan,
my battery is running out, and you aren't discussing any of the things I am interested in, and you're not making any progress. So I'm going to hang up.
Alan.
Good night.
Alan, go ahead.
Yes.
Alan, are you going to speak?
I've just spoken. I've told you. You're not doing anything I'm interested in, and my battery is running out, so I'm leaving. Good night.
Oh, bye-bye, Alan. Thank you. Okay. So, sorry to see you go. Janine, it's getting very late already. We're entering close to 8. Janine, were you able to send the Doodle survey? And the link.
I did, and only 3 people have responded: myself, Rocio, and Michael Novick.
Okay, let me look.
Do you have me on the stack, Bella?
Yes, go ahead, Michael.
Okay, so first of all, sustainer income is fixed and predictable because people who are sustainers are making a regular monthly contribution to KPFK of a certain amount. It's taken either from their credit card or their bank account as an electronic funds transfer. The problem that has previously been reported to us is that up to now they've been able to distinguish between people making installment payments for a particular premium and people who are actual sustainers. So that is what has to be clarified. It seems to me that is data in to Allegiance. It's not something Allegiance is going to produce and tell you. You have to tell Allegiance what the income that you're putting in represents. Is it a sustainer pledge or is it installment payment on a particular premium? Once that's clarified and everyone is clear on what the sustainer income is, the sustainer income is predictable. And within limits, so are the installment payments, but they're different. The installment payments are going to end. The sustainer income hopefully won't. But both of them in the past showed up on Memphis reports. You know, you would see how much money was coming in from which fund drive in any given month. And that could be projected out based on past experience, how much was going to come in future months. So I don't know if Allegiance is not capable of doing what Memphis was capable of, but it boggles your mind that it can't. So I think that has to be clarified and resolved. If there's something that prevents Allegiance from identifying or recognizing what is an installment payment on a premium and what is a
sustainer
pledge, I don't see why that should be. It seems to me that you have to code in the information that you put into it in such a way that it's clear. But if it's not, then I don't know what to say about Allegiance. But it's not, Allegiance can't generate that. Allegiance has to be fed that information. In any event, that is an accounts payable. It's money that's coming in on a regular basis.
That's not accounts payable, Michael. That's accounts receivable.
Either one is an account receivable. It's either money that the person still owes to qualify for the premium they requested. The same token, the premiums that are unfulfilled have to be recorded somewhere as an account payable, because that's something we have to come up with and cover to our listeners.
Right. So this is why I keep honing in and asking for an accounts receivable. We get a lot of money during the month of people that have already authorized the station to deduct from their bank, like myself, and these are dependable numbers that we can rely on. And that becomes an accounts receivable, you see. And then when we have installment payments, when people say, no, bill me, which I have covered I don't know how many times, so the bill me has to become an accounts receivable, because that person is going to send us that money, whether he's going to do make it all in one payment, he will decide, or she will decide. But those funds are accounts receivables. This is how much we're expecting to collect, right? These are people that are agreed to pay us back. They go somewhere in the dark hall, and we do not account for this, just like we're not accounting properly for our accounts payable. We have two sides of the ledger. Money's coming in, money's going out. Very simply, we have to get a grasp on these two areas. This is why we never know really how much we need and how much we're getting. And things just pop up, and we get a narrative once a month, and we're supposed to follow that up. Follow through with a written sheet. But
point
we're not
of
getting...
order.
Let me just interject something right here with you, Bella. KPFK is on a cash basis for our revenue, and we're on an accrual basis for our expenses. That might help you understand how the receivable and the payables work. Okay?
I understand that, Barry.
Cash is recognized when it comes in. That's a cash basis. Okay.
Thank you for that, and I know that, the cash basis. We used to be on account on the accrual basis. Years ago, our audits were done on the accrual basis, and then in recent years, they were changed to cash. And this is why we're not accounting for accounts receivable, and we don't have a grasp.
Point of order. Yeah, Paulina. Back when... with the prior chair of this committee, I committed the sin of calling them out for not putting themselves on the stack, but rather just jumping the stack and making comments. And I think I'm going to do the same with you, Madam Chair. I feel like we should probably try to stick to Roberts and
And the chair shouldn't just be making editorial comments, I feel, but rather asking, you know, putting themselves on the stack, or you putting yourself on the stack, if you don't mind, very, very respectfully, absolute respect to your work. Thank you.
Yes, I have done this, but it becomes so difficult. We are now going to be adjourning. It's already 7:55. Thank you, Janine. Did you, hold on. Doodle.
Yeah, I still only have 3 participants out of 16.
This is Pauline. I still haven't received it.
It would have been in the thread that had the announcement of this meeting.
Mm-hmm. I'll check. Thank you. Madam Chair, may I speak?
Yes, of course.
So I also sent an email to Michael Novick with the email that you requested, you, Bella, with what the IED shared with us about PPP and Firmino, and what was expected of the stations as far as how it's going to be distributed and how central services should be paid. So, Michael, yeah, did you get that? Were you able to? No,
yes,
I only sent it to Michael.
Uh-huh.
If you can.
I forwarded
share
it.
With all. Oh, okay, cool. Thank you. That's all.
Okay, I am voting right now. Paulina, can you vote? You did not get the doodle survey?
I just resent
I'm looking
to everyone.
Oh, okay, thank you. I'm looking for it now.
So, Bella, are we adjourned?
No, we are not adjourned. Voting now.
We are not adjourned yet. We need to vote on the time for our next meeting on the 10th of March. And I don't see my name here.
You have to enter your name in the blank spot.
Okay, because normally the okay. I cannot enter my name anywhere. Okay, hold on.
There should be a box once you wrote the name.
Let me enter. Okay, I see what happened. Okay.
With only 3 participants, the overlap of those 3 people are 4:30, 5, and 5:30. They're all times that the 3 people who have already voted.
I can vote. Janine, I just sent my vote, and I voted for 6:30 because I teach until 6:30, so that's what happened.
That's not going to work. So I sent my vote.
Point of personal privilege. This is Dave.
Okay.
I have not received this thing to vote on. I do not have any mail to vote. Not received.
This is John, and I'm just registered for my Doodle account, and now it wants to sync with my calendar, and so I'm in the process of doing that. I'll just say that all these times are okay for me, but my question is, what happened to the 3:30 time that we had for a while? We seem to be moving into a later time of the day, and is there some reason why these other were no longer considering?
You missed the earlier conversation on this.
Well, that's why I'm just asking. A sentence or two would be all I need, just like her.
Yeah,
but anyhow, these times are all fine. These times are all fine. That's my verbal vote.
This was very helpful. today to be at 5:30. Believe me, for me, it was extremely helpful getting all the documents at the very last moment and then having no email. My email server has been down for over 3 days, so it was extremely helpful for me. But then we also have the governance committee that overlaps sometimes, but it won't in March. So the question was, should we continue with 5:30 through March and then revisit or select now a time moving forward?
It seems like 5:30 is the most popular time.
Yay! Yeah,
6 participants.
I would like 4:30. If I could vote, I would vote for 4:30.
Okay.
How many?
I don't know what to say. I just resent it again to David.
Do you have my email address? I mean, I'm not getting it.
Yeah. I mean, unless it ends in 3562. It's a Yahoo address?
No, I don't use the Yahoo address. I never touch the Yahoo.
All right. Well, that's
what
you've been all using. Yeah.
It's an MSN account. Okay, Fred has just sent it to me. Now I've got it from Janine.
Fred Blair, did you want to participate?
I did already.
Fred?
I did.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Janine, do you have Dave Johnson's email? Is A?
Yeah. No,
yeah,
no.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
You have it? Okay. Good.
Did receive it.
Good.
So, actually, now the most popular time with 6 people is at 4:30.
Oh. Okay. That's where we were heading. So, our meeting for the 10th of March, if there are no objections, will be at 4:30 on the 10th of March for the stream as well. 4:30, the 10th of March, the second Wednesday of the month.
This is Paulina.
Yes,
to comment. I won't be able to make it. I teach at that time. I wish you,
okay.
I teach from 4:30 to 6:30, so have a good meeting and keep me appraised. Thank you very much.
Okay, you bet.
It's a pleasure
to be here.
Right, thank you.
Okay, bye, thank y'all. You, Paulina. And congratulations on your nomination.
You mean the extra work
secretary.
Is this meeting adjourned?
Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, hold on. We are adjourned. Is everybody clear? We meet on the 10th of March at 4:30.